This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to our series, Understanding the Quran. In this segment, we begin a commentary on Surah Al-Mulk, that is, the 67th chapter of the Quran. This chapter is called Al-Mulk. And the name Al-Mulk, it comes from an Arabic term, Malaka, which means to own or to possess exclusively. And the meaning then of Mulk is dominion or sovereignty or ownership. This name is taken from the very first verse of the chapter. And the name was something agreed upon by those who taught the Quran in the early generations after the time of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. The name is not considered critical in the sense that it was referred to in the early generations by a variety of different names. What is most important to us is that this chapter was among the chapters which were revealed in Mecca, as is concluded by a number of the scholars. Not that anybody actually stated that from amongst the early companions, but the structure and the way in which the chapter is presented indicates that it is from among the early Meccan chapters. It is also the beginning of the 29th part of the Quran, what is referred to as Juz Tabarak. That is, the Quran, for the purpose of reading and memorization, has been divided up into 30 parts. Basically, because reading of the Quran shouldn't take less than a month in order for a person to absorb the meanings, to benefit from it. You know, it was recommended that it not be completed in less than a month as a normal reading. A person who's memorizing, of course, is a different situation. However, for normal reading, reading one segment of the Quran, a part, that is, a 30th part each day, is a recommended practice. And as such, the 29th of the 30 parts was referred to as Juz Tabarak, and it begins with this chapter itself. Now, this chapter is a very popular chapter amongst Muslims. It's commonly read. And the reason for that has to do with the various virtues which have been attributed to it. A number of these virtues are authentically narrated by the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, whereas there are some commonly held beliefs about this chapter which are unfortunately not authentic. I will look at the most authentic and accurate statements with regard to this chapter. The first addresses issues of the punishment of the grave, wherein the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said, Surah Tabarak hiya al-mani'a min adhab al-qabr. That is, the chapter, Tabarak, is a shield from the punishment of the grave. Now, the meanings of this is quite obvious. According to Islamic belief, when a person dies, the process of judgment begins for that individual. In the state of the grave, not necessarily in the physical grave itself, but in the state of having died and be awaiting the actual resurrection itself, a person is in a phase which is referred to as the grave. This period between the actual death of the individual and the resurrection. And in this period, depending on where a person is going, whether they're going to hell or they're going to paradise, then the grave will be a reflection of it. That state will be a reflection of it. So it may include punishments, torments, or it may include pleasure and satisfaction. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had indicated that this chapter is a shield from the punishment of the grave. Now, in the folk or customary misunderstanding of the intent of the Prophet here, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, you know, people will actually record or write this chapter on a piece of paper and wrap it with the dead as they're being placed in the grave, believing that literally this chapter in its physical form, if you place it in the shroud of the dead, it's going to actually save this person from some form of punishment. Of course, this is really nonsense. I mean, what is the truth, as Ibn Mas'ud, one of the companions of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said, Allah will protect anyone who recites Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadihi al-mulk every night from the punishment of the grave. During the era of the Messenger, we used to call it the Protector. So Ibn Mas'ud has clarified for us that it is not about writing it on papers and, you know, wrapping it in the shroud, but it is something which is recited on a nightly basis before going to sleep. That this is a practice which Muslims are encouraged to do. Now, again, we have to question further. Is the mere recitation of this chapter, that is just reciting the Arabic text of the chapter without any kind of reflection, etc., just the act of reciting it, is that what will protect a person from the punishments of the grave? Again, we have to say no. Because if a person has lived an evil life, I mean, in their day before going to bed, they are evil. They disbelieve in God in their actions and in their words, etc., etc. Then simply before going to bed, they recite Surah Al-Mulk, and then that is going to save them from punishment? No. We can't accept this. This is not the case. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the 47th chapter, verse 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Will they not reflect on the Quran, or are their hearts locked up? The Quran itself expresses that it must be reflected upon. It must be contemplated. Otherwise, hearts are locked from benefit of the Quran. So, the Quran itself will not, recitation of Surah Al-Mulk in particular, will not benefit that individual if he or she does not contemplate the meanings, reflect on its meanings, and it have an effect in that individual's life. So, what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was instructing us was that this chapter will protect us from the punishments of the grave, or the trials of the grave, the torments of the grave, if one recites it regularly at night, contemplating its meanings. Reflecting, contemplating meaning, we look at what Allah is saying there in the various verses, then we look at ourselves. What is the relevance of what is being said here to ourselves? Is it addressing things that we ourselves should change, and we should strive to change these things? Are we fitting the image or the picture which is being described by this chapter, either in a positive way or in a negative way? In a negative way, then we need to change so that we come in line with the recommendations, the ideals, the guidance which is there in this chapter. The second authentic tradition we can look at with regards to Surah Al-Mulk, or the chapter of dominion, is one which addresses issues of intercession, in which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, إِنَّ سُورَةً مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثَلَاثُونَ آيَةً شَفَعَتْ لِرَجُلٍ حَتَّى غُفِرَ لَهُ وَهِيَ سُورَةُ تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ That is, there is a chapter in the Quran containing 30 verses, which will continue to intercede for a person until all of his or her sins are forgiven. It is Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. That is the first verse of Surah Al-Mulk. So the Prophet here, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, also indicated that this chapter would be an interceder. It would intercede on the reader's behalf. And it would help him, obviously, then to get into paradise. If his sins or her sins are forgiven, that means then that they have earned paradise. But again, when we're looking at the issues of intercession, this is not something arbitrary. That is, simply by reading this chapter, no matter what a person does, it benefits one, it intercedes on one's behalf. No, we know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Ayatul Kursi, "Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhni." This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Who can intercede with him except with his permission? So it is not arbitrary. Those or whatever intercedes on behalf of an individual will be only in accordance with what Allah, what God has already decided to be. So the process of intercession is not an arbitrary process, a process free from the will of Allah. If Allah has decided that that individual, based on certain things that he or she has done in their lives, righteousness, etc., that their sins will be forgiven, they will not be held accountable for them, that means they will not be punished by them or for them, then Allah will choose certain things or certain people to intercede on his or her behalf as a means of honoring that person or that thing. So this chapter, as a means of honor to the Quran, will act as an interceder for one who has contemplated the meanings, as we said before, reflected on them, and it has caused them to be a better person, to be on the correct path. You know, and as Allah told us also in Surah Taha, verse 109, يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَرَضِيَ لَهُ قَوْلًا. On that day, no intercession will be of use except from those whom Allah permits to intercede and whose word is acceptable to him. So, when we speak about issues of intercession, and there are a number of other circumstances where the Prophet, for example, has told us that people will intercede for others. Children will intercede for their parents. The martyr will intercede for so many members of his family, or etc. You know, again, we always have to put this intercession within the context of the will of Allah. So we cannot blindly depend on intercession, meaning that we don't have to do any good, etc., as long as we have somebody in our Quran, for example, in our family who has memorized the Quran, that such a member will intercede on our behalf. You know, or we have somebody who dies a martyr, you know, that they will intercede on our behalf. You know, let me just mention is a hadith of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, collected by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, authentically collected, in which he said, whoever reads the Quran and implements it, such that he regards its lawful as lawful, and its prohibited as prohibited, Allah will put him in heaven and grant him intercession for 10 members of his household, all of whom are deserving of the fire. So, whoever reads the Quran and implements it, you see, there's conditions here. Even the person, for that one to be able to intercede, who would be honored by Allah for intercession, it would be a person who reads the Quran and implements it. To implement it means they had to have reflected on its meanings to implement it. And they regarded the lawful as lawful and the prohibited as prohibited, meaning that they stayed in line with the commandments of Allah. They lived righteous lives. Such a person, Allah will grant him intercession for 10 members of his family, who would normally have been deserving the fire, but based on certain good which they did, Allah had decided to forgive them their sins and that individual who read the Quran and implemented it, making prohibited what was prohibited and making what was lawful lawful, that individual will be honored by being the factor for their intercession. So it is very important for us, you know, to keep this in mind. Intercession is not an arbitrary thing. There's another well-known statement of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in which he said, some of my companions will come to me at Al-Kawthar, a pond in paradise. And after I recognize them, they will be taken away, and I will say, but they are my companions. Then it will be said, you do not know the innovations they made in the religion after your time. So though these people were from the following of Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, they will not be allowed to drink from the pond. This is a pond, this is a part of the process of resurrection and judgment. That this is a sign of intercession. Those who the Prophet will be able to intercede for are those who will be able to drink from this pond. This pond specially set aside for the Prophet, referred to as Al-Kawthar. So, because of the fact that they made changes in the religion, they innovated in the religion, they changed the teachings, they introduced false teachings into the religion, they will not be permitted to drink from the pond, and they will not receive intercession of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also said, every messenger was permitted a prayer which would be answered. But all the prophets were hasty in using this prayer in this life. However, I have reserved my prayer for the intercession of my followers on the day of resurrection, and it will be granted if Allah so wills. In the case of everyone among my followers, as long as they die without associating any partners with Allah. He clarifies here again conditions. Conditions for which the intercession of the Prophet will be beneficial to people, that they die without associating any partners along with Allah. That is, in their worship, they have not called on others besides Allah. And this, of course, is something that is very commonplace, unfortunately, today in the Muslim world. You have many people calling on others besides Allah, whether it is Abdul Qadir or others who have been designated as saints. People in times of calamities and difficulties, etc., will call on these others, believing somehow that they are close to Allah and they can intercede on their behalf. But this is falsehood. Or people will make pilgrimages to graves, places like Ajmer in India, and other places can be found in Pakistan and in Morocco and in Egypt, all around the Muslim world. You have places of pilgrimage where people go, and what they're going to actually are shrines set up over graves, mausoleums, something which is really not a part of Islam at all. But people go there and call on the dead, write letters to the dead, you know, asking them to help them. All of this contradicts our basic belief in the oneness of Allah and that He alone deserves our prayer. As such, anyone who does that in this life, they will destroy the right for themselves to accept, to get the intercession of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. So, dear viewers, it is very important for us, when we reflect on this chapter and its benefits, the benefits that it will protect one from the torments of the grave, and that it will intercede on behalf of one, you know, on the day of judgment, till one's sins are forgiven, and helps one to get into paradise, that the way to do it is to read this surah or this chapter of the Quran regularly every night, contemplating on its meanings, reflecting on its relevance to oneself, trying to correct oneself, trying to bring oneself in line with the ideals, the exemplary character which this chapter encourages the believers to take on, to address, to live in accordance with. And with that, dear viewers, we end this segment on the interpretation the commentary on the chapter known as Al-Mulk, the 67th chapter of the Quran. We hope that you will continue to follow our program as we look into this chapter in greater and greater depth. With that, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.